to the King. Hail to the King. I lift my eyes to the one who came in to save.
Jesus Savior.
Jesus Savior, reign forevermore in my soul. In my soul. I throw my life before your holy throne, and all the world will see your kingdom come.
See your kingdom
God is good.
Amen. All the time.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the glory breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved burst together, we're on the other shore, and the roll is calling yonder.
Good to praise the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Man, it's good. Kids, are y'all ready to go to children's church? Is that a yes? Going to children's church. Someone lead the way.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you join us online this morning. You know, Trevor mentioned there's joy in the house, joy in the house of the Lord. That's always a good thing, right? I was thinking about the scripture that says, in God's presence is fullness of joy. So maybe there's a heightened awareness of his presence here. Maybe the two kind of run, you know, concurrently together. But we're grateful for the Lord being here, grateful for the joy in the house. Go ahead and register your attendance if you'd like to do so this morning. Also, we are having some internet bandwidth issues. Our stream, our online stream has been bogging down, and so we wanted to try something this morning. I know a lot of our people have access to our internet, and when you walk into the building, it automatically connects. So asking you this morning, if you don't mind turning your Wi-Fi off on your smartphone, if you think you're connected to our internet, and we're going to change the password at some point. And if you need that password, well, actually, we'll have it changed by next week. If you need that password, see us, and we'll give that out. Several things coming up. Our prayer time at noon tomorrow. If you're free, I know that doesn't work for everybody. If you're free, join us in the sanctuary from noon to 1. And then these things are in your bulletin. Sunday through Wednesday of next week, the 10th through the 13th, a citywide revival hosted by Loving Care Ministries. Our pastor is preaching on Tuesday the 12th. And if you would like to serve in any capacity with food or whatever, see our pastor. He'll get you hooked up there. Our men's breakfast, October 16th. The bulletin says that you need to sign up for that, but that is inaccurate. We have a pretty good idea of how many to expect for the breakfast, so no need to sign up there, and then you can go ahead and continue to sign up for the Women's Aspire event for October the 17th. So this morning, as we pray, I just wanted to pray through the names in the bulletin, and also maybe for others. And so if there's somebody on your heart this morning that needs prayer, I just want you to shout their name out, and I'll try to jot those down and keep up. And so who can we pray for this morning? Joby, okay. First name again? Hardy. I don't hear very well. 24 years of driving down the road in fire apparatus with sirens blaring. Maybe this wasn't a good idea to do this. I heard a name over here. Sam Garza. Okay. Did I hear Benny Rogers? You say Gary Gamotes? Okay. Anybody else?
Gary Simmons.
Any others? Aaron, last name? Okay. Steve Parrish. Anybody else before we pray? I'm sorry. I heard a name, but I didn't hear the name. Nope. First name again? Lord. And some of these are on our prayer list, but thanks for mentioning them anyway. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you can look through your bulletin as we pray. If there's a name that kind of just jumps out at you that the Holy Spirit highlights, I encourage you just to intercede for that person. For those who called out these names, would you please intercede for that person? Let's spend a couple of minutes doing that, and I'll close us in prayer. So, Father, we come to you this morning acknowledging that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, Lord, we know full well that you understand circumstances that people are going through. Lord, you know the needs that are there, whether that be healing, whether that be provision, whether that be peace, or whether that be comfort. And, Lord, we trust you. We trust you to move in people's lives, move in situations, and bring about peace, bring about healing and comfort. So, Lord, we commit these people to you. We commit these names to you, Father. And Lord, I just want to lift up the Reyes family. I just got an email from Connie Rubens, COVID positive, and she asked for protection for the family. God, would you be with them? Would you wrap them up? Would you just bless them? Lord, and the people that's been on the prayer list for a while, for Stephanie Bates and Krista Bunger and Doris Parton, Connie Hudgens, so many struggling with cancer. God, would you bring peace and comfort and healing into their lives, into their bodies, and into the lives of their families, Lord God. Lord, I want to single anybody out. I lift up the Hudgens family to you, God. Just a good pastor and wife, and Connie's struggled with cancer for several years. God, would you just do something supernatural there for that family? Because you love them and you're good. And Father, we've been praying for Austin Tice for a while, and Lord, he's a journalist that's been missing for a number of years. Father, I don't even know, Lord, if he's still alive. God, if he is, would you bring him home? If he's not, God, I pray that you bring closure to that family and bring that soon. Again, Father, we commit these names to you. We commit these situations to you. And, Lord, we trust you like no other. And, Lord, as we continue to worship, as we sit under the word, God, I just pray for more joy in this place. Lord, I pray that your presence is strong, almost that it's almost tangible, Lord, that we can just feel you and sense you and touch you. And Father, whatever happens this day, we'll give you the glory for it. And Lord, the baptisms that are coming up, God, we're grateful for new lives in Christ Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate that this day. Lord, we praise you for who you are, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, we'll go ahead and take our offering at this time. If you have one, you can bring that forward, or you can go ahead and give electronically. God bless.
Be still.
that you never change. So Father, we're glad that you're here with us. So glad the presence of the Spirit is here.
Good morning again. Welcome to our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here. And there was a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest with the blue stripe. And would love to have you fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to get to know you. And I will be out at the foyer, this end of the foyer, and would like to meet you and have a gift for you. Have y'all forgiven me for taking out some of the seats? Tammy, you have not forgiven me for taking your back row out over there? My mom is still working on forgiving me for taking one of her seats out. We thought it'd just kind of make us a little more intimate with the two services. So I'll tell y'all what I told my mom. Get over it. That's not very pastoral, is it? Get over it. But hey, that's the way I roll. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. I want to do something different this morning with the scripture. You know, sometimes when I'm trying to spend some time with the Lord, a lot of times music helps me to center myself. And also sometimes I like to just close my eyes and as I'm kind of worshiping and trying to have some time with the Lord, I like to visualize things in my mind. So I want to encourage you. You don't have to do this, but I'd like to encourage you as I read this scripture today to close your eyes and put yourself in that scene. As I read this scripture, you're there. You're seeing all of this. You're experiencing this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this vision that you gave Isaiah, that you've shared with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to us. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come and speak and teach. Speak in power and authority. It's the only way you speak. And transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series today, Connecting with God. We've been talking for several weeks now, different ways that we're wired differently and how we can relate through relationship and through quiet and through service and all these different methods. Today's message is the worship heart, connecting with God through worship. They say the perfect sermon is 3 points and a summary, but I'm going to give you over twice as good a sermon as you would normally hear. 7 points today. So, right, Robert? Don't you? You're looking forward to that? Yeah. June the 3rd. I'm adding this. This is actually visited with someone after the first service, and this is kind of went and did a little research on this. June the 3rd, 1953. If you were alive, you were probably watching Queen Elizabeth II being installed as the queen. And as she, you know, all the pomp and circumstance that they do those things with, and she, as she was walking down the aisle as Westminster Abbey, she had a train that was 18 feet long. It took six of her matron of honor, the maid of honors, whatever, that supporting the weight of this train. And if you think about it, if you read about the trains of robes, the longer the train, the more royalty. They have a longer train. Well, I'm pretty sure this passage today, the train of his robe filled the temple. That's royalty. That's royalty. So I'm going to jump right in, and we're going to, there's so much in these eight verses, and I'm not even really scratching the surface with these 7 points, but we're going to jump in here and see maybe what God might be trying to teach us. The worship heart understands that God alone deserves our praise. God alone deserves our praise. I saw the Lord, verse 1, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He alone deserves our praise. Now, if we're being honest, many times we see worship as about us. Anybody pulling back their toes yet besides me? We kind of view worship many times as a consumer. I praise God that we don't deal with this here at our church. But I remember, especially back in the 90s, when I was really, me and the Lord were really starting to kind of get closer and doing some business. You remember what I called it, the worship wars. Anybody remember the worship wars? When praise music was starting to kind of come into, and there was man. And when we start focusing on things like the style of music or the color of the carpet or you did this wrong or you did that wrong or you did, that's not what worship is. Worship is, the misconception of worship is that worship is about us. But the reality of worship, it's not about us, it's about Him. Isaiah... none of that was about him until it got a little later when he began to be convicted in the presence of God. But he sees the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted in the train of it. And man, he's like, he's in the presence of God and he understands what's going on here. Now, I got a raving review of this. This came to me 10 or so years ago, this phrase. This morning, it was amazing. People were, you know, writing this down and running out to text it, things, something I came up with a few years ago. So we'll see how y'all. Worship is not about me, it's about He. Y'all, I know, Billy asked y'all to take your Wi-Fi off, and I know you'd all be texting that out right now if it wasn't for that. It's not about me. And it's not, no offense, but it's not about you. Worship is about Him, He. We can fill our minds with knowledge about God, and those are good things, all of the traditions that we have in worship and so forth, but only worship fills our heart. The worship heart understands that God alone deserves our praise. Secondly, the worship heart is filled with reverence and awe for God through worship. So recognizing that God alone deserves our praise, and then this being in awe of who He is. Verse 2, with two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. Even these creatures that are worshiping, they were worshiping they covered their faces and bodies out of reverence for the King of Kings. It's almost like, I'm unworthy to even be here and to be in the presence of God. They were filled with reverence and awe. Thirdly, the worship heart loves and adores God through worship. Verse 3, they were calling one to another, these creatures that Isaiah is seeing. He sees the Lord high and exalted, and these creatures were covering themselves in humility, and then they began to worship and adore this heavenly King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. So as they were in His presence and they understood He's God and we're not even worthy to be in His presence, but they began to just spontaneously worship Him and adore Him. Psalms 8 says it this way, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world, all the earth. And if you flip back to Revelation, the New Jerusalem being described, in the center around the throne were four living creatures. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. When we're in the presence of God, it's not about he, it's me, it's about he. And we find ourselves just loving and adoring him. We find ourselves also moving on to four. The worship heart is convicted of sin through worship. So Isaiah, he sees this, the Lord high and exalted, the train of his robe fills the temple, and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. And what happens to Isaiah? He's convicted of sin. Woe to me, I cried, verse 5. I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You know, I was told the first service, if ever we need to hear that as a culture, it's right now. And notice, it's not, Isaiah's not going, I got my act together, but all these people around me are messed up. He doesn't say that. He starts with himself. I'm undone. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he sees the greater sin that's like, not only am I a man of unclean lips, but I live among a people of unclean lips. When we truly are pressing into God, when we're truly seeking him, and we're truly in connection with him, he convicts us of sin. I remember that moment for myself, and I've talked about it before, but it's been around 30 years ago. I remember, and I had been raised, Mom and Dad raised me as a Christian, and we were in church all the time, and it's like, but somehow I missed that God's holy and I'm not. I missed that Jesus loves me and he died for me. I missed it. 30 years, I missed it. And I remember that moment when I came face to face with God, and I really felt like that he was conveying so dramatically to my heart. Jeff, just like Paul, I believe it's in Romans 7, Paul says, what a wretched man I am. I want to do this, the good stuff, but I find myself doing this, all the stuff I shouldn't be doing. What a wretched man I am. That's what Paul said. I see that happening with Isaiah. What a wretched man I am. And I really felt like for me, when that happened for me, I felt like the Lord said to my heart, yep, you sure are. You sure are a wretched man. But I love you. Wretched man and all, I love you. I died for you. That's Isaiah. I'm ruined. We're convicted of sin. When we get face to face with the King of Kings, we can do nothing else but feel that we don't measure up. And I'll tell you, if you think you measure up in the flesh in your own behavior, I got news for you. You're wrong. Is this on? We don't measure up in our own strength. But that leads me to the next verse, verse 7, the fifth point. So we're convicted of sin when we're in the presence of God. But number 5, the worship heart celebrates their redemption through worship. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. So God, he receives us as these broken, wretched, undone people, and he doesn't leave us that way. In Galatians, we read, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. Church, that's good news. When this this vision that Isaiah had. It's all right there. God is who he is, and he's worthy of our praise, and we don't measure up. We're undone, but he redeems us. He loves us. And then he expects a response from us. Verse 8, this is the sixth point. The worship heart is inspired to respond to God through worship. So Isaiah has been convicted. He's undone. He's unclean. He's a man of unclean lips, and he lives in a land, a people of unclean lips, and yet he's been redeemed. And then he heard in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Who's us? Somebody say it. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's right there. Anybody ever tell you that there's no that's not biblical? It's all over the place. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Isaiah is saying, man, I've seen God. I've seen him high and exalted. I've seen the train of his robe fill the temple. I've seen these creatures in myself, and we're humbled. We're undone in front of him. I've been convicted of my sin. I've been redeemed. And now my response is, I'll go. The worship, when we come face to face with God through worship, that's a natural response to be convicted, to be redeemed, and to be sent. Isaiah encountered the living God, and he responded. So I want to stop there for just a second and ask the question, how are we doing, church? And I've talked about this before, but I think many times the mistake we can make in Christendom is we kind of, again, that consumer mentality, like, I got my ticket, I'm going to heaven, I've accepted Christ, I've been baptized, I've got my ticket, and I'm done. And I tell people, that's not the finish line. That's the starting gate. He's calling on us to respond. Whom shall I send, the Lord says. Who will go for us, he says. And our response should be, I will. Here I am. And it looks different for everyone, what that means. Seventh thing, each one of these different ways we connect with God has had a vulnerability to it. This one does as well. The worship heart, I believe, is vulnerable to placing religion above relationship. I see it happen all the time. See it happen all the time with Christians. I probably shouldn't say this, but that's never stopped me before, so I'm just going to say it. Last week, someone approached me after church, and they said their spouse was wearing a T-shirt in the grocery store, and it said something about heaven, you know, and so forth, and someone stopped them, and Cheryl and I, if we wear a Christian T-shirt, sometimes people will stop and go, hey, I like your T-shirt. You ever had that? Well, this person said, they stopped this person and was looking at their T-shirt, said, are you a member of this denomination? And this young lady said, no. Said, well, you're going to hell. In the grocery store. It wasn't like, hey, you need to kind of do some different things and then you won't be. And it's like, no, you're just going to hell. Man, I tell you, that's placing religion above Jesus right there. Our religious practices, while can be rich, there can be wonderful things that we do through worship. But I promise you, John Wesley didn't die for you. Your pastor didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Our religious practices don't save us. Placing our faith in Jesus Christ saves us. And I know the popular sentiment in our culture is like, you know, all these different religions. Well, it's basically the same God. It's like, no! Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. Muhammad didn't. Buddha didn't. Jesus took away my sins. I'm a wretched man. Jesus took away my sins. That makes the difference. And people can call that arrogant if they want to. I call it humble. And I want that for other people. I don't want to convince people I'm right. I want people to be in heaven. I want people to have abundant life like Jesus is offering. And if that's arrogant, it's arrogant. And I would love to meet that lady in the grocery store and go, Jesus loves me and he loves you. Let's be there together. It says Jesus, he died while we were yet sinners. He didn't die for the good ones and not the bad ones. Jesus became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He is alone is worthy of our praise. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith in religion? No. Faith in Jesus, what he's done for you. And this is not from yourselves, it says. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. If we could attain salvation through our own works, who gets the glory for that? We do. I promise you, I don't know about you, but your pastor can't get her done in his own strength. What's a sermon without Larry the Cable Guy being quoted? I mean, I'm just saying. It's not about religion, it's about Jesus. This meal that is available to us today. And once again, we can get so caught up in, you have to, even this meal, it's like you have to do it this way, and you have to, no, you have to do it that way, and or you know, if you, and Jesus just said, do this and remember me. Remember what I am doing for your sake. I am giving my body, allowing my body to be broken and my blood to be spilt. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I'm allowing that to happen. I'm not only allowing it to happen, I have ordained it to happen. I've intentionally made it happen because I love you. The two that I will be baptizing this after the service, we talked this week with both of them, and as we talked through baptism and that decision that they were making, I asked them at the very end, both of them, and it's like, why do you think Jesus hung on a cross for you? And they gave good answers, but the answer is because he loves us. He wasn't drug kicking and screaming to the cross. He went to the cross. I've said this before, but I love this passage where as Jesus is, he's telling the disciples, he's been telling them for weeks, hey, the Son of Man, we're going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer and he's going to die. It's not going to be pretty, but I'm going to rise on the third day. And he's telling them that. And then there's the passage that says, then they headed into Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Don't you love that? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. And so because he loves us and because he has established this meal, his body, his blood, he says, do this. When you do it, remember me. So if you, it begins, church, it begins, this meal begins with repentance. Just a heart that says, realize I'm undone, but I also realize you've redeemed me. So if you'll just bow your heads. and just pray your own personal prayer of confession. Father, thank you for this body and this blood. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. So I want to invite the servers to come forward. Our praise team and sound team has already been served. So the invitation is, if you love Jesus Christ, you are invited to this table. If you repent of your sins, you're invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church, but you also have the freedom to not come forward and be served. If you choose to do that, that's okay as well. Hope you feel welcome. There are two stations here and two stations here. You'll be given the elements in a self-contained cup. If you'll go ahead and take those, there's a trash can in the center. And at both ends, if you'll take those cups and head to the trash can and partake so that it won't hold the lines up. And also, be sure and open the bread first. We had to help some of the A&M folks earlier in the early service. But Jesus loves you, and he has proved it. Let us remember him as we partake. Come.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
Messiah, name above all.
Never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We have good news to share with a hurting world. Let us go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Are we having baptisms?
Don't leave.
Don't leave.
Don't leave.
What are we going to do while you get ready?
Okay, yeah. You may be seated while I go do the baptism.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
There'd been a lot of upset family members if I'd have forgotten the baptisms, right? Addison, are you first? Dad, come around on this side. Come, all right. If you'll come right across over there, watch your step. Family, friends, y'all here for Addison, y'all, come on. Go up before you sit. Stand up one more, go one more step for just for a second. We'll get all your crew up here. Hey, y'all all have to come back next week so our count doesn't sag. You're not, y'all are, there's a camera y'all aren't going to block. Just come right up here in front. Just jump up there right in front. You're not going to block anybody. Come on, there's cameras. They can see. Okay, everybody. All right, can you turn back here for me just a second? All right, Addison, you have been excited about today, haven't you? Are you ready? I know. I'm excited for you. So we talked to Addison about this word sin, and you had a really good understanding of that. So Do you admit to God that you're a sinner? And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yeah.
And you want Jesus to live in your heart and be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized? All right. Now if you'll step down and sit right there, Dad and I are going to do the deal here. If you'll hold your nose. Addison, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo! Yeah. Stay right there. Y'all want to gather in here? We're gonna put it, if you can reach her, put a hand on her. If you can't reach her, put a hand on somebody in front of you. Remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna ask the Holy Spirit to live inside of you as well. So, Lord, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for Addison. She loves you so much, and she has said yes to you, and you have said yes to her. Father, I thank you that you died for her, that because you love her. I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, God, from the top of her head to the tip of her toes, and that she would ooze Jesus wherever she goes. God, raise her up and grow her up into a mighty warrior for you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Is Dad getting your towel? There we go. Okay. It's okay. It's been wet before. It's all right. Victoria, you back there? All right. Come on up. Victoria's family, y'all come on up.
I can see you.
You can just stand right down there, young lady. All right. This is Victoria Baker, and she's grown up right here in our church. It's been neat to see God at work in her life. She's pretty ornery, but we love her.
Yes.
So, Victoria, we also talked about that sin. So do you admit and confess that you are a sinner, and you want Jesus to forgive you of that sin, and you want him to be your Lord and your Savior, and you want him to live in your heart and to be baptized in that faith? Amen. If you will turn and sit, hold your nose. Victoria, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we go. Stay right there. All right, can y'all reach in? Put a hand on her shoulder or somebody in front of you. Lord, thank you, God, for Victoria. I thank you, God, also that you sent Jesus to die for her because you love her. I pray, God, that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit. God, I've already seen your Holy Spirit at work in her, God, that you would carry that on to completion. You would mature her into a mighty warrior for you. Grow her up, Father, in that faith. Bless this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. It is warm. If you arise for this benediction, you know, I feel almost bad making fun of the Aggies, and then I almost forgot the baptism. I mean. Carlene wants me to remind you to pick up your children. What's wrong, Carlene? You don't want to take them home with you? They're right here in front, parents. Okay, here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Church in Abilene, Texas. Thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord
and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living word, and there's life in God's word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.